A wonderful year we had in 2018 here at Gateway Church. Amen? We are so thankful for each and every one of you that call Gateway home. And some have been home for many years, and some are newer to the family. But it's so important to understand the significance of gathering together each week. There's just something beautiful about the body of Christ. Amen? Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You see, church was his idea. And coming together regularly with other believers for worship, for fellowship and friendship and biblical instruction, it gives us the needed support that will help us to grow in our faith walks. Amen? And it's the plan and expectation of Christ that we grow in community with each other, not on your own little island somewhere doing your own little thing, but that we grow together in community as we grow deeper in our relationship with Him. Time together with other Christians will be a blessing to God as we worship Him, and a blessing to us through our deepened friendships and continued teaching and instruction in the Word of the Lord. Romans 12, 4 to 8 says this, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though we are many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all of the others. We all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." But down in verse 10, I really like this. I like what the word says here. "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." Wow. That's a little bit challenging to do sometimes, to honor others before yourself. You know, being a Christian isn't a private, isolated matter, but it links us with each other into a larger body in which everyone serves the whole by serving one another. And such a beautiful demonstration of that service was on Christmas Eve. It was an amazing time as we gathered together to celebrate the birth of Jesus. It's especially exciting for Ken and I as we see people come in on that night, people who've maybe never ever stepped foot in a church building before. They come on Christmas Eve. People from the community come, or family members that come out. You know, they may not come out through the year, but they make it a point to come out and join their family on Christmas Eve, and they come into the house and they hear the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing, amen? And then tomorrow night, we gather again together as a family to bring in the new year. And yes, a new year, 2019. Can you believe it? Whoa. 19 years ago was 2000. Do you remember the big kerfuffle about 2000 coming in? Y2K? And everybody was terrified about how everything is going to crash and burn, and we're going to wake up January 1st in the morning and nothing will be the same. We'll have nothing, no electricity, no internet, no nothing. And I remember we were in Guelph at the time. That must have been just before coming here. And I remember we were going out to a celebration that night, and as we were walking out the door, Ken and I said to each other, "Oh, we knew we had friends at the church." Okay? Technically, Yes. Who were stockpiling food for months. I mean, And we kept teasing him. We won't name him. But we kept saying, you know what, bud? It's going to be okay. Well, you never know. So he had so much food. So we were walking out of our apartment that night, locking the door. And I said to Ken, you know, we have not prepared. What if this thing does happen? Like, we should go fill up a couple of jugs of water or something, you know? Like, we may not have water tomorrow. Nah, we'll be fine. Let's go. You know, like, that was 19 years ago. Look at all that's transpired. I was just talking with Sam and BJ earlier. Like, BJ's looking forward to the new decade because who knows what's going to happen in the new... Well, you have another year to wait, bud. But, you know, so much going on in the world. So we have a new year with new resolutions and new goals and new hopes and new dreams, personal goals. Do you have, anybody here have a personal goal of eating better in 2019? Eating more nutritionally. Anybody here have a goal of, you know, maybe getting more exercise? Yeah, I'm putting my hand up to each of these. Anybody here planning on, here's one. Okay. I have challenged myself to this reading list. And Ty and I are in competition this year. So this is a Christian reading challenge. I'm not going to get through this in a year. I don't think. I had a cousin in Northern Ireland rebuke me on social media saying, how are you going to get in the Word if you're reading all this stuff? And I said, don't worry about it. I'll handle it. You can get told off from overseas even, you know. But so, for example, read a theology book, read a biography, read an apologetics book, read a marriage, relationships, or parenting book, read a leadership book, read a Christian classic, read a classic novel. Read a book by an author that you don't agree with. I did that in Bible college. I read a Shirley MacLaine novel. I think we were in fourth year, and it was, I can't remember the name of the court, Contemporary something or other. Anyways, he gave us a list of 8 books, and not one of them was appealing because they were all like, wow, out there kind of authors. Anyways, I read Shirley MacLaine, that book, and I was telling Ty about it because we were looking at this list. And when I finished reading that book, I had to give a report on it, which was very challenging. And then I thought, I cannot keep this book. So what did I do with it? I gleefully ripped it into shreds and threw it in the garbage. So that's what I do with a book whose author I don't agree with. I'll read it, but then I'll rip it into shreds. Read a Christian novel. I guess I could find some time to do that. Read a Christian living book. Read a book that was made into a movie. Read a book by one of your... Oh, did we... We watched a really good movie the other night. I'd never heard of it before. Oh, my goodness. I cried. That's why it was good. What was it called? Midnight Sun. Oh, that was a sad movie. Anybody seen that one? You got to watch it. Midnight Sun. It's about this girl that really cannot go out into the sun. So it's called XP. It's a disease where you cannot be in the sunshine at all. Oh my goodness. That was so sad. I was like, you know, sometimes you're crying in a movie and it's like delicate crying. I was like, it was nasty. Anyways, I'm getting way off topic here. Anybody in a rush today? I hope not, because you're going to be here for a little while. Okay. Read a book you love, but you haven't read in years. You know, get yourself I'll give you a copy of this if you want. So that's one of my challenges for this year, getting through that. Where was I? Anybody want to grow in your relationship with God in 2019? Okay, that's good. Well, I'm going to share with you some verses that impacted me in 2018, okay? These were in my journal. These were verses that I would go to. Isaiah 7:9b. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. That's a good one, eh? That's in the Bible. Psalm 145:18. The Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth. Proverbs 9 and 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. These were my verses last year. Ecclesiastes 5 and 1. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. That's a heart check one. Here's another one. Ecclesiastes 5 and 7. Therefore, stand in awe of God. Stand in awe of God. Now, I've already, usually through the year, I get verses that I accumulate and, you know, I really focus in on. Here's some good ones I've already chosen for 2019. I'm cheating this year. Matthew 6 and 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. That's a good one. You, where's your pens and paper, people? You should be writing these down. Come on. I'll let you have one of these as your favorite too for 2019. 1 Chronicles 28 and 9. Here's a good one. The Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. Yeah. Good one, eh?
Yep.
Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. Do you think I have a little bit of a trend going on there for 2019? All things new. It's important to set goals, but not every goal that you set is a good goal. Okay? Not every goal that you set is a good goal that God is going to bless. So how do you know the kind of goal that God will bless? You need to ask yourself a couple of questions. And the first one being, will my goal honor God? Okay? So going into 2019, whatever your resolutions are, whatever your goals are, ask yourself this question. Is this going to honor God? So what kind of goal brings glory to God? I'm going to tell you. It's any goal that causes you to trust him more, to depend on him more, any goal that will make you love him more and love others more, any goal that will lead you towards serving him and serving others, any goal that will make you more unselfish. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. Everything can be done to honor God. You can honor God by taking out the garbage. You can honor God by helping out and washing the dishes. You can honor God by doing that mundane task at work with joy of the Holy Spirit. How? By doing it with the right motive, which is gratitude. If you want your life to bring honor to God, you need to set goals that help you be the best you can be for God's glory. Amen?
Amen.
There was a certain king, and he had two servants. To the first he said, I want you to travel 6 months through my kingdom and bring back a sample of every weed you can find. To the second servant, the king said, I want you to travel through my kingdom for 6 months and bring back a sample of every flower you can find. Well, 6 months later, both servants stood before the king. If you said that fast 10 times, that would be a tongue twister. 6 months later, both servants stood before the king. Okay, I did it. All right. To the first, the king asked, have you carried out my command? And the first servant answered, I have. And I was amazed to find that there were so many weeds in the kingdom. In fact, there are nothing but weeds in the kingdom. To the king's question, the second servant also answered, I have, and I am amazed at how many beautiful flowers there are in the kingdom. In fact, there is nothing but beautiful flowers in this kingdom. So these two servants each found what they were looking for, and so do we. Are there no blessings in your life? Perspective. Do you have no one who cares for you? No beauty outside your window? No strength left in your body? No mind to guide you to new opportunities? No faith to bear you up when circumstances weigh you down? It's perspective. Are you really without any resources for making 2019 a wonderful year? It's perspective. Next year, are you going to be hunting for the weeds, or are you going to be searching for the flowers? Perspective. So, the second question you should ask yourself is my goal motivated by love? You know, God is not going to, he's not going to bless a goal in any which way that is motivated by greed, by envy, by guilt, fear, or pride. Okay? If your goals run along that vein, God isn't going to bless it. But he does honor a goal that's driven by a desire to demonstrate his love, your love to him and to others. Because life is all about learning how to love. God is love. Amen? So why is it so important to have goals based on love? Because if you set loveless goals, you're going to treat people as projects. You're going to run all over them to reach your goal. You're going to run over your spouse or your children or your family members or your friends and other people as you climb up that ladder to reach your goal. God says, no, you've got it all wrong. It's not about accomplishments. It's about relationships. It's about learning how to love. Amen. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, do everything in love. Your one goal in life should be to learn how to really love your family, your neighbors, and even those that are hard to love. That has been something I've had to learn over the years as a pastor. You know, there's like this hat on your head that says, love everybody. You are a pastor, you got to do it. You know, like, and it's like, wow, some people are a little bit of a challenge. And I would say, you know, a few years back, I really, really had a hard time with that. But I recognized that in myself, and I made it a goal for God to turn sometimes a heart that is stony into a heart of flesh, you know, to see people as God sees them. I've learned that over the years. It's hard. It's hard, but with his help, it can be done. We need to love others. And when you look at this this verse in 1 Corinthians 16 that says, do everything in love, it reflects back to that wonderful chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, we call it the love chapter. We need to pick that up. It's not just for weddings, people, people of God. That is for, like, us as believers, as followers of Christ. We need to learn to love. But even more importantly, your number one goal should be pouring out your love on God. In Deuteronomy, verse Well, there's a few of them here. In Deuteronomy 6 and 5, 10 and 12, 30, 32, 30 and 2, and 30 and 10, we are instructed to love God, to serve Him, obey Him, and turn to Him with all of our hearts. Okay? That's what our mandate should be in our hearts and our minds for 2019 is to focus on loving God more. Loving Him. Not just loving Him, but you know how you show your love to Him is by actually obeying Him. And when you obey Him, you begin to have a heart to serve Him. And when you do that, He works in and through you, and it enables you to begin to trust Him. And when that happens, what do? You turn to Him again and again and continue to test Him in that. Amen? God is so good. I guarantee you, if you do this, if you go out on a limb in 2019 to love, serve, obey, and turn to Him with all of your heart, 2019, I'm not promising you, it's not going to be without challenges, but it will be good. It will be a good year for Him if you put Him first. Amen? Amen. One thing that will help you put Him first is by reading your Bible. Did you know I was going to say that? So what I did was, I was thinking about you guys, you know? When I'm not here, you're not forgotten. I was thinking about you guys and thinking like, you know, as a pastor, it's our desire to see the body of Christ grow in their knowledge and understanding of God. And I'm telling you today, okay? I've told you this umpteen times, but I'm telling you again today, you need to read the Word. I'm gonna tell this side over here first. People of God, you need to read the Word. They're nodding. Let's see. Oh, here. People of God, you need to read the Word. Ooh. My family of God, you need to read the Word.
Yep.
I'm all for do-overs. People of God, you need to read the Word.
Amen.
That was better. So what I've done is, here's my practical part of my sermon. I've printed up two reading plans for you. One is a reading plan through the whole Bible, okay? It goes week by week and then day by day. So for instance, on week one, on Sunday, that's today, well actually, would you start this today? Because today is the 30th. I guess you could start it, okay, you can figure it out. So for example, Sunday you read the epistles, Monday you read the law, Tuesday you read history. Psalms, poetry, prophecy, and all the verses are right there for you. With little check boxes, you can check them off. This is a good one. Or, I have this one. It's by the Navigators, and it's called 5x5x5, and this is the New Testament, okay? New Testament reading guide. And 5x5x5, read, look. 5 minutes a day. If you cannot read your word 5 minutes a day, I've got some serious concerns. 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, and then five ways to dig deeper, okay? So you can pick this up at the end of the service. But what I wanted to do to finish off this morning was, and please, may there not be, Lord Jesus, may there not be any of these left. Get yourself a good devotional. This one here is one of my all-time favorites, Experiencing God. I'm going to read you January 1st. I'm cheating. It's really, really good. I love this one. Look at it. It's falling apart. Highlighted. It's broken. So, this is what Henry Blackaby has to say about resolutions. We're almost done. And then I'm going to ask Ron to come and sing Trading My Sorrows. As we were singing that, I thought, that is a good resolution song for 2019. So when I finish reading this, we're going to come up here, we're going to sing that song, and then we're going to pray in 2019. How does that sound? Resolutions. John 21:15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Judah, do you love me more than these?" Family of God at Gateway Church, do you love him more than whatever? Fill in the blank. Okay. Jesus had a wonderful way of restoring us. Sorry, let me start over. Jesus has a wonderful way of restoring us when we fail him. He does not humiliate us. He does not criticize us. He does not ask us to make a resolution to try harder. Rather, he takes us aside and asks us to reaffirm our love for him. Peter miserably failed his Lord when he fled with the other disciples from the Garden of Gethsemane. Later, he publicly denied that he even knew Jesus. Peter must have wondered if he had been capable of being Jesus' disciple when he was unfaithful to Jesus in his most crucial hour. As you begin a new year, you may be painfully aware that you have failed your Lord in many ways. Perhaps you were not faithful. Perhaps you disobeyed his word to you. Perhaps you denied him by the way you lived. Jesus will take you aside as he did with Peter. He will not berate you. He will not humiliate you. He will ask you to examine your love for him. He asked Peter, "Do you love me?" If your answer, like Peter's, is "Yes, Lord," he will reaffirm his will for you. If you truly love him, you will obey him. Jesus does not need your resolutions, your recommitments, or your promise to try harder this year. If your resolve to obey God last year didn't help you to be faithful, it will not make you successful this year. Jesus asks for your love. If you truly love him, your service for him in the new year will be of the quality he desires. And I will add to Blackaby, read your Bible. God is good, amen? Amen. Why don't we gather, who needs a new devotional for 2019, by the way? Does anybody actually want to commit to using a new devotional for 2019? Here, would you like this one? Okay.
It's on my Christmas list, but I wasn't blessed with it.
Well, there you go. So why don't we just, be a family and gather around the front here and worship together. And while you're here, take a reading plan. And let's sing, and then we'll go through the song, and then we'll pray. Pray together, amen? So come on, everybody, come on. Everybody.